My Hero is literally the only thing defined that most would define as anime that I've been following this season. So,
yeah, actually, shit. Yeah, can I give that the ring?
Oh, you know what? Yes, I'm going to say that you can give that the ring this year.
Yeah.
Well, spoilers then. There's only one answer.
Yeah. This will all get cut out of the YouTube version. It's
Boruto
fine.
Had two or three good episodes that I really, really
liked.
Shut
the fuck
but I
up, Grant.
Yo, that fight with the moon man, whatever
okay,
they
look,
are.
I'm going to agree
that,
with you.
That, like, two episodes there was amazing.
Look, I'm going to agree with you that that fight is super good.
And they had, like, a half of a good idea going into the current arc that they're doing with Mitsuki.
By the way, you're going to want to scooch in just a little bit.
Okay.
Cool. You're good. And
good.
I'm glad.
He asked me to scoot in. I'm sorry.
Did you know that the English word for Boruto is Bort?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I actually thought it was Bolt when it first came out. It is supposed to be
Bolt. That's okay. Why there's a bolt going through the name Boruto.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I thought it was when it
and
first came
o
out.
And the O
in
his name is,
in
a,
English,
is a bolt. Like
and
a
the
nut.
English branding was still Boruto. And I was like, okay, whatever.
Did you know that Bokuno, in the context of the title of the show we're about to talk about, literally translates to fuck you, weeb?
It's just a little known fact.
Yeah.
That is a slur, sir.
It is. It's a slur against a group of people that I hate, so it's okay.
Take that one out of context.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Take anything I say out of context.
Hey, I take hey, it with take, context half
yeah,
the time.
Yeah, actually, you know.
I'm so glad you're our CEO. You're the face of this company.
Yep.
As long as we avoid the topic of armor, I think we're good.
All right. Okay. Got it.
Thank you for being the white, straight, cis face of our company, man. I appreciate that.
Okay. You want to offend somebody about armor? British people, you're spelling it wrong.
There we
get
go.
Get on board.
Yeah. Get that U out of here.
It comes from the Latin armare, okay? The French added a U to it, and you took it from the French, but we preserved the older, etymologically correct spelling that from before our languages split. So, yo, spell it however you want, but don't come talking to me about how you have the pure version of English. You're just
our
too British people.
Ben, we chase down other languages into dark alleys and mug them and take their words. We don't exactly have the high ground here. Just putting that out there.
But for us, it is armor, not amour.
Amour!
What's your favorite color?
Color!
It's not when the sky hits your eye like a big piece of pie.
That's aluminium.
Yes, that is aluminium. You know what? I will give you aluminium.
Actually,
that one makes way more sense.
I don't care if it makes sense. I just love saying aluminium. That is so much
it's true. It makes sense
aluminium.
And
it's a more fun word.
Yeah.
It has ups and downs like a roller coaster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Guys, we have a movie and an episode to talk about.
No, we don't.
My Hero
and
Academia.
Other people have more episodes to talk about.
My Hero Academia is better than Boruto. This movie is already better than the Boruto movie. Actually, no, if I had to be honest with you, I really like the Boruto movie.
Yeah,
so.
I did too. Yeah. I'd have to watch the Boruto movie again to.
Yeah.
It's like, better. The Boruto movie's better.
Yeah, okay, so that's weird because Boruto sucks. It sucks. It's
yes.
bad. It's bad. It's a bad show. It's a bad show. It's a bad manga, it's too. Okay. But it's got a good movie. One good movie.
Yeah, the movie's really good.
My Hero Academia.
Is really good.
Is really good.
It has an okay movie.
And it has an okay movie.
It has a movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm putting it out there. A lot of people I know was like, dude, this is a good movie. And I'm like, that sounds like it doesn't make any big mistakes.
This is a TV movie.
Yes.
Guys.
It's exactly what it is.
Not to tip our hands over a cliff, but let's talk about
the movie?
The movie. Which
okay.
We are here. By the way, we got a fourth chair here today.
Oh, hi.
Oh, yeah. I guess we should
Most
introduce.
Most people don't know who I am.
Yeah.
No. William Smith, of course.
What?
Yeah,
no, that's me.
Yeah, if you know the D&D stuff, I was William Smith at one point. But my name's Stefan. I animate stuff. I made Fistmaster, make Fistmaster.
Yep.
Continue to do that. I co-edit Helsing. I edit this show.
Yep.
And I do lots of other stuff, mostly editing and art for like Final Fantasy. I do art for that too.
Yep.
I do plenty of things. So you just don't see me because, I mean, why would you?
I like it that way.
Don't worry, Stefan. I see you.
Is that a threat or is that?
That's
yeah, he's gonna put
just
you in
watch
the intensive
BoJack?
Care unit, motherfucker.
So yeah. So this movie was actually released, I think a couple of, well, it was shown at Anime Expo.
Right.
We weren't able to see it. I think it was only the subversion, so I mean, why would you do that? But we ended up seeing the dubbed version. a lot of people didn't even know it came out this week, which is kind of crazy. You know, that movie's been pimped by Funimation so hard because, I mean, it's kind of the biggest property they've got right now. And so we ended up seeing it on Saturday at the Alamo Draft House. Really nice. It's basically the only place that we can see anime movies that isn't like one of the art house theaters downtown that it takes forever to get to. We saw it with Nick as well, and Quinn, Introspective Spy.
One of our mods here.
Yes.
And it's Studio Bones' first My Hero Academia film, and it is set during summer break.
Yes.
I was kind of curious, like, where does this fall?
Yeah, it took me a second, because I'm like, okay, it seems like All Might's in his muscle form, like, for a couple of hours. Yeah. This would have to be before the fight.
They make
between
a very
season
big...
season two and season three.
They make a big deal when Todoroki uses his fire again. They're like, oh, good, he's still doing it. Like,
It is kind of awkward that this movie had to come out now, because, a lot of things that might have actually hit big... are kind of like, but we've seen this all. We're past this. So
this point, we're like, oh, no one can know about All Might's big secret. Oh, no. What if that happens?
That would be terrible.
Right?
Yeah, it'd be a real shame if people knew that All Might had this weak, not muscly form.
It's not really their fault, but
And so, the entire movie is about actually All Might's past, somebody that he used to work with called David Shields. He's an inventor. And a scientist, and he lives on Scientist Island, with his daughter?
Daughter,
yes.
Melissa Shield.
Melissa Shield. And basically, they are having an expo on the island that's all about science for heroes. And it's really all the, it's where basically all the heroes get their tech from. And so All Might ends up going, and he takes along Deku with him.
Also, literally everybody else.
And literally
for own reasons.
Except for the one person who should have gone, which is the Gadget Girl.
Yeah, right?
Well, she's class 1B. We don't talk to her.
Is she 1B?
She's a completely separate one.
She's in the tech department.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She's not even in the department
that has anything to do with this expo.
She's not in the hero course. She's in the science course. Don't take them to Scientist Island.
It's hilarious. Like, slight spoilers, by the way. I think we're... kind of getting a little spoilery here.
Spoiler alert. As we talk about this movie, we're going to spoil this movie.
Spoiler alert, this is an anime movie. It is entirely self-contained, and nothing we say about it will spoil anything from the show because it doesn't matter.
If we bring up anything from season three of the show, I think it's fair game though
to like once we're past introductions, which we already are. Deku shows up and it's made very clear that like this is a special thing with just All Might and Deku. And all of a sudden. Other people start showing up with their own individual reasons for coming up, and everyone has their own explanation as to why they happen to be there.
Let me write a better first act for this movie. Hey, we're taking a class trip.
Right.
There you go. That's
exactly.
The entire first act.
Just make it a field trip.
It's one of those things where I thought it was kind of funny and like sort of neat in a way that everyone had like a different reason to be there, but it was just such nothing happens
minutes.
At the beginning of that movie because we have to spend all this time with, Mineta and Kaminari, they're waiters, and Bakugo and Todoroki really want to compete in this thing, and Deku's here with All Might, and also the girls showed up because they won a contest. But some of the girls didn't win the contest, so they'll be here later.
And it doesn't even like work into the plot of their waiters. It's just one thing they do at the beginning to explain why they're there. And if you want to just clean it up, just a class trip where everybody goes, and you can still have All Might take Deku separately if he wants to. Like, hey, I want you to meet my best friend. And there's no reason to like complicate the plot the way they did at the beginning, except. To fill time.
Yes.
Of talking.
Which it did phenomenally.
That's the thing. They kind of needed to fill time with talking because this is obviously where they just took an arm of the TV production and told them, hey, we're also making a movie while we're making the season.
Yeah.
Because everything about it, including the aspect ratio, is for TV.
So
it's not film.
Real quick, we were talking before we went live about the opening to this season and how there were perhaps a character or two in there that seemed like it never showed up in the show. I wonder if that was before they realized they were doing a movie and they were like, we need to get some people out of here.
That is possible.
Yeah. That guy was covered in metal. Maybe he was reworked to be a movie villain.
I would like to point out that there is a there is an episode of My Hero Academia that is completely unnecessary. And I'm not just talking about the recap. Yeah. I'm talking about that that love episode that they had. What if that was
the trailer for this movie?
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
So I don't know. So
that could have been the episode where like that might have been where that villain that does not show up in the show was supposed to be.
Yeah, or opponent in another class. Whatever.
I could not tell though if this was supposed to be a joke, like because I'm sitting here like you're really going to introduce all of his classmates with their own reasons one after the other.
Why
would you do it like this?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I think it's a good bit. I think it just goes way too long.
I mean, I think the idea is, this might be some people's introduction to these characters. We should probably give them a scene, but nah. If you want to make this a good introduction to My Hero for non-watchers, you need to slim down your cast for this movie, y'all.
Yeah,
that, or if you're going to bring everyone, give them a scene where they all do something, which they also don't do.
Yeah, or when they do, it doesn't matter, Kaminari.
Another thing that they do is, that makes it really feel like it's just a TV film is the fact that they continuously flash back to footage from
of the show
to explain what's going on, which is like...
That's My Hero Academia. Got a flashback to the important moments to sell the emotional emotion.
Yeah, it's just very weird to watch it in a movie theater knowing that like none of this actually says movie until like the last 15 minutes when it comes to the visual fidelity.
Yeah, I mean, so one of the first things that you're going to notice from this movie is that it just looks like the show.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it just looks like the show. And I've always been the guy that's like, yeah, it's very good for TV. My Hero Academia is the best looking shonen on TV. Like, it is right up there with Soul Eater's best stuff, and that's good. That being said,
when you blow it up on a big ass screen.
When you blow it up on a big ass screen, let me tell you something. I get what they do with the backgrounds in the show. Oh my God, the backgrounds in this movie are garbage tier.
Right. And when you see a big ass screen, like a wall in front of you that has all these characters the size of you on it that don't have faces because it's far away.
Yeah. Yeah. And that bothered me a little bit. I mean, I knew what was happening. It's just an animation thing.
It was easy to just notice it and be like, okay, well, I guess that's just how this is.
Yeah.
But it's just one of those things where like the stuff that does not make it feel like a movie.
Being in a movie theater makes it way bigger and feel like a much bigger sin than it is.
And it doesn't happen very often. There was only like one or two scenes where that was really obvious.
Yeah.
My biggest problem again was just the backgrounds look really bad in so many shots. Like any shots with gardens or trees. Oh God.
Yeah,
they look terrible.
The show's backgrounds are extremely stylized. And that's great for the show, but for the movie, it probably would have felt better with a bit more detail. And they do add a bit more detail to backgrounds and stuff, again, in the last 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Where the movie suddenly looks like a movie.
But talking about the plot, though, to move on.
Yeah, yeah.
So we get introduced to all of Deku's classmates quite early on. I actually really love Bakugo's introduction because, I mean, I just love him breaking stuff and getting into feuds, and that's exactly what happens. They have this whole training, or not a training thing, this whole contest of who can destroy all these robots the fastest, and Bakugo gets the best score, then Deku comes in second, and then Todoroki just comes in and blows their score away because he's Todoroki. And I love that Todoroki's whole thing is that he's just way OP. But all of his baggage makes it a problem. So
also with Bakugo, they paired him up with Kirishima a lot.
Redhead
man.
Yeah.
And they give you a lot of shipping fodder.
Oh yeah, no. Like
he brought him a suit.
Yeah.
And he knew what his measurements were somehow.
And he found great colors.
Yeah, like, no, he's like Kirishima. So one of the parts of this film is that they have to go to this party. And Bakugo is like, fucking, I don't want to go to a party. What the fuck would I do that?
Please, for me.
And anyway, it doesn't matter. I didn't bring the clothes for it. And Kirishima, without missing a beat, the great boyfriend that he is like, oh, don't worry.
I brought you a suit.
Yeah, They are so gay. Yeah, they're so fucking gay.
Yeah, it just definitely felt like
a... And it's wonderful.
Yeah.
It definitely felt like a, I don't want to go to this party, and Kirishima just like, come on, all of our friends will be there. You're always saying we need to go out more.
Yeah, will you go?
This is a perfect excuse.
Will you do it for me?
I mean, I don't... Okay, so, like, legitimately, I'm not shipping, but I do play, it's guy between yeah. two guys. Honestly, every time.
I'm never into shipping. But there's just some reason Kirishima and Bakugo are real. Like, if they were male and female, they would already be a couple in the show.
Are you kidding me? If they were male and female, they would actually be a couple in the show.
Yeah, exactly.
So, anyway, point being.
Tune in next week for all the Super Crown fan art.
Yeah, right. Oh, no, we've already gotten Bakugo with that Super Crown. And he just looks like his mom, and that it makes sense.
Yeah, is that a problem?
Right. Anyway, so. But yeah, they introduce everybody, and we get to know more about Melissa. Melissa wants to be like her father, and, you know, she wasn't a great student, and then she really buckled down, and she's been getting better, and Deku's like, wait, you don't have a quirk? Oh my god, I'm so sorry, you must be living such a terrible life. And she's like, what? No, I'm fine, I make these wonderful gadgets for people.
I'm not a loser.
Yeah, I'm not a loser. Yeah.
Suddenly, I don't break down just because I don't have a power. What kind of fucking asshole does that?
Oh my god, so people with disabilities must just be so awful and have a terrible life. God, what's wrong with you?
She actually didn't get catty at all. But.
No, she's actually like super...
She's a very likable character.
Oh yeah, actually, yes, Melissa is very likable. She's a little, like...
Little bland.
At the same time, she's got a...
So she's every female character in My Hero Academia.
She's the Snow Prince.
Oh, that is so not fair. You've got Jiro, you've got Yairozu, you've got Sue.
Yeah, all very likable, if a little stock.
I wouldn't say Yairozu's stock. She's got good personality quirks.
I'd say they're no more stock than most of the guys.
Yeah,
you might be right.
But anyway, so Melissa... ends up giving Deku gauntlet?
Yeah, the MacGuffin gauntlet?
Yeah, the MacGuffin. Well, not a MacGuffin, but Chekhov's gauntlet.
Yep.
And then meanwhile, as we find out, David, who was All Might's old partner, which back in the day, like originally, these guys were partners.
It's like All Might the college years, which we get. Speaking of scenes that remind you, oh yeah, okay, this is a movie. The opening scene,
the
young
is,
All Might stuff is cinematic. It feels movie,
especially with the villain that they have there with his super high animated, like they're animating on ones, which in anime is like holy shit. Yeah. Character animation on ones, Jesus. So they introduce David Shield with his partner All Might, and All Might's in his original costume designed by David Shield, who's been designing all of his costumes. So one, okay, cool, he's actually got a purpose in this movie. There is something that ties into the story. And two, we also find out that All Might probably came up with all of his attack names while he was in America and came up with Carolina Smash, California Smash?
Yeah.
In tribute to David.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, this is for your hometown, Dave.
Yep. It's a really cool opening sequence. It's got a lot of really good action. There's this beautiful shot where All Might is in his regular clothes as he jumps, flies through a dust cloud, comes out of the dust cloud in front of a building with a reflection of him in his outfit now, in his suit, yep. And it's the coolest shot. It's so quick, but it's amazing. And
I actually feel bad because we jumped so quickly into the stuff we didn't like that I forgot that opening sequence is really good. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, when that happened, I was like, all right, this is setting a pace. I'm ready. And then it starts going like, this is Deku. Here's the first episode.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, trust me. I'm super looking forward to the inevitable AMVs that take all their footage from the first scene and the last scene.
To
be fair, like, it's easy to forget that scene because it has very little bearing on the actual movie.
It does.
Besides setting up ultimately, that they know each other at all.
Yeah. But it is such a good scene, though. So.
Yes, absolutely.
But yeah, so we find out that David didn't quite know that All Might was coming. Apparently, did he?
Yeah. No, it was a surprise that his daughter set up for him.
Right. And so he shows up, and David's a little bit freaked out by that because apparently he didn't know he was coming. And it sets early on, like, is there something wrong with him being there? But David just rolls into it and I'm like, hey, it's good to have my friend back. And he's been talking to him through emails like, holy shit, dude, you're losing your powers. Like, apparently he has this ability to measure one's quirk, which is like, okay.
Hey, man, it's science.
You have less quirk than you had before.
Yeah, it's like your quirk is going down at an astonishing rate.
According to my quirkometer.
Yeah.
We can pretend that when he's floating in that tank or whatever it is, they're scanning him, and it's just constantly attacking his body and seeing how quickly it repels it and goes, well, this isn't the All Might we know.
Yeah.
It's like if you had like a level that was like, oh, your eyesight has been decreasing on this graph I did with this machine.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, so it's interesting, and it sets up kind of for later in the movie pretty well, because as we're going to find out, David's got stuff going on.
He had plans.
Yeah, he's got plans. So basically, the entire story ends up being Die Hard, because yes, it all becomes this big party that's in this gigantic 200-story hotel, and the entire thing is everyone's going to go to the party. They're going to have a good time. And uh-oh, terrorists. Yep.
You want to see all the girls in prom dresses? Because we got that.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. No, this
covered.
Like, one of the things that I do like about movies is that, especially a lot of these movies, they take their chance to put the characters in other outfits. And then it's like, this is their outfit from this movie.
The movie outfit.
Yeah, I actually really dig on that. Because, again, seeing, like, Kaminari and Bakugo in those suits, I'm like, dude, we're going to see all these characters in suits, and all the girls are wearing these cool dresses and I am doing stuff.
And I am looking forward to the inevitable cosplays at Yomacon.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Jiro, oh my god, I love Jiro's outfit, because she's got this like pink dress on, but she's also still got leggings and her jacket.
Yep. Yeah.
And I'm like, yes, yeah, punk princess, let's do this.
Yeah, I give Mineta a lot of shit in this movie, but he does just point out, he's like, not even the jacket ruins this outfit. I'm just like, hell yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they got Horikoshi to come in and design those outfits.
I hope, you know what, I'd like to think so.
Because they're very in character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So terrorists show up, they subdue everybody, and basically the only reason that All Might doesn't fucking, like, probably go hog wild is that they're like, yeah, by the way, if any of you do anything, the security system that is made to protect the island will turn on its inhabitants, because we've already hacked into that too. So basically all of the heroes...
And specifically Melissa Shield, his best friend's daughter.
Yeah, well, that is specifically a threat to David when David's like, I'm not going to help you guys. Okay, then we're going to kill your daughter. I'll help you guys. And so...
This seems like a plausible excuse that I can use to work with you.
Yeah. So what ends up happening is the kids now have to save the day from these terrorists. And yeah, hijinks ensue. They have to get up to the top of the building, but the security system keeps getting in their way, so they have to use their quirks in different ways to get through all of these different obstacles. Kaminari ends up using his full power to take out a bunch of robots, only he doesn't, which sucks because he gets this moment where it's like, yeah, I'm going to take out all these robots. Doesn't work, and then he's rendered useless for the rest of the movie.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because this is before he at least got his, like, cool pointer power where you can specify where it goes. So, like, it's like, well, if I'm going to use my power, I've got to kind of use it in a wave. And that's going to hit all of you.
And then be useless for the rest of
you.
Meanwhile, Ida literally has no purpose in this movie, but other than to be the moral center of, like, we have to make sure that we do the right thing all the time.
Does he kick down a door once?
He kicks a lot of things. He kicks things.
Kirishima also
gets... Nothing that Deku couldn't do.
Kirishima also gets kind of dicked, because at one point he's fighting and then he gets knocked into a wall, and then the rest of the fight we don't see him, and then at the end he's like, can you guys help me out of the wall? And they're like, you can just turn off your power. He's like, oh yeah, and then does that and gets out of the wall.
Yeah.
He got a good laugh though. So.
It was a fun bit, but like he's also a real good fighter and focuses a lot on that. And that's sort of like what he's all about.
But they want to focus on Bakugo and Todoroki.
Which, you know, is kind of neat, because at the end of the day, watching those two fight, and they finally did something that I was waiting for a long time. So they're fighting these two villains, the infragable Krunk from fucking Dexter's Laboratory. I'm not kidding. That's exactly what he looks like.
Yep.
And this guy who can apparently displace matter, which is a pretty cool power, stolen directly from part 4 of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. And so Bakugo ends up sweating on a dude. And he's like, wait, what is this? And he's like, that's nitroglycerin. And then fucking Todoroki uses his fire and blows the dude up. Which, by the way, so I want to cover this early on. All the kids are fighting with their powers against villains.
Well, they specify that at the beginning, where he says, and on this island, people are allowed to use their quirks however they want. It is considered a safe zone to use your quirks.
Which
that's why there's a bunch of different attractions with people using quirks in weird ways.
Which they confuse the issue, however, when when midway through the film, they're like, but what? We shouldn't be doing this. We're still students. And it's like, but it was established earlier in the movie that you can use your powers whatever you want. Don't bring that up and confuse people.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah, because they tried to do the same thing that they did in the Bakugo rescue arc. Like, okay, we won't look for a fight. We're just going to try and stealth around and then immediately go looking for a fight. So, yeah.
It's like, all right, well, fuck it.
To be fair, they try to get out of that fight, but fucking Bakugo just stands up and, I forgot. Bakugo and Kaminari, Kirishima, were actually completely separated from the party.
Yeah.
And, okay, hilarious.
Going 120 floors up?
Yes, with a hilarious joke that Kirishima got them so lost, they ended up on the 120th floor.
Looking
for the reception desk.
That was a hilarious joke when they did it in One Piece 15 years ago.
Okay. The character getting somebody else lost can be used more than
as someone who doesn't follow One Piece, this was just a good joke to me.
It really was. I was just being a sassy bastard.
But you're not wrong.
But of course, Bakugo, they try to hide from these villains. Bakugo and Kirishima, however, end up on the same floor. Serendipitously. And Bakugo's like, hey, what's going on? And the villains are like, you're not supposed to be here. We're going to have to take you out. And Bakugo's like, okay, yeah, no, let's do this. And good fight. It's a good fight.
Nah, like, it looked cool.
Yeah, we talked about the opening and end sequence. There are a couple of good fights and good sequences. Not as much as I'd like from a shonen
film.
I won't lie to you. When it comes to my shonen films, I watch them for three reasons. One, I like the shonen that I'm watching. Two, to get some real nice animation, and three, cool fight scenes. That's the thing. I'm here for fights, and the film's kind of low on those.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got a couple of really good ones, but you're kind of expecting back to back action. And
yeah.
Which I think the character writing isn't really like making up for it in any way.
Yeah, the character writing
is mostly character.
The character writing in this is not bad. No. I've seen bad from My Hero Academia. Bad, like, filler character writing.
Right.
Everyone here is in character. They act in character. Their motivations are accurate. Their powers are used mostly well, which, you know, thank God, because if I had to be honest with you, my hero filler is not good to me. So I'm just glad that, for the most part, the writing in this was above their average.
What was also rough is that I think a big part of what makes a lot of the My Hero fights cool is having everybody's quirks like kind of coming together and like, you know, bouncing off of each other or like working in tandem with each other. And we had the Bakugo Todoroki thing. Mm-hmm. And I think when they're like trying to ascend the wall or something at some point, we get like a little bit of help from like some characters kind of working with each other. But I think that's kind of what a lot of this was missing is I think the cool shit, especially with My Hero, is you get like your marquee big heroes getting to do something really cool, and then the kind of like the rest of the class getting to do a cool team. Like, this only worked because we had exactly these three people, and they all did something really cool that contributed to this. And we never really get that in this. Like, we get our two star players working together and getting to do one cool like kind of team thing, like by happenstance, but we have Kaminari, Mineta, Gravity Girl, Jiro. Like, we've got all these people there at once, and at no point are we really given a, and then we're going to use my electricity on your balls that are floating up with the gravity, like just some combo tech that I think a movie would have really benefited from.
Yeah. Guys, can we talk about both the best and worst part of this second act?
Oh, boy.
Godzilla's in the mix and does nothing.
Oh, Godzilla.
Where's Godzilla?
Godzilla.
Yeah, actually, he's in the first act, and I remember the laughter from everybody when it's like, oh man, it's Godzilla. And just when it hit that O, because you're like, he's gonna say Godzilla, and then, yep, no, it's Godzilla. But that's still amazing, because it's just fucking Godzilla.
Yeah, his quirk is Godzilla.
With one of those, like, biker gang jackets.
I got, like, an Elvis vibe from it, but...
Yeah. It's one of those biker gang jackets that you see in, like, any of those biker gangs from, like, Japanese media. And it's amazing. I'm like, this, I want to...
Give us more of this character.
Yeah, his poor mom.
Yeah, I don't care about anything else in this.
I was hoping he'd be the villain just so we'd have a reason to look at him.
Yeah. I was like, I want Godzilla to be a major part of this movie, and he's only in one scene, and I'm sad.
Yeah, blink and you miss him.
Yeah, he's in. Like, I mean, you know, that's accurate to the Godzilla film that came out a couple years ago, so, I mean.
Yeah, it shows up for all of 10 seconds.
Yep, and, but.
It's not something to emulate, though.
Yeah, I'm just, yeah, you're right. I didn't think about that, and that actually made me sad, because I saw him in the promotional art, and I'm like, that's cool, I want that, and then it wasn't in the movie, and I'm like, that was cooler than 80% of the stuff you put in this movie.
That also strikes me as a Horikoshi thing, where he's just like, here's this guy.
Here's this more interesting story we're not going to follow.
I'm almost certain Horikoshi just gave them that design. Yeah. I'm like, by the way, here's Godzilla.
I don't have a use for this, but he's really fun, so here you go.
Here's something I doodled on a napkin.
I wonder if they called him Gojiro in the original.
I don't know.
But yeah, he's amazing. But yeah, good point.
By the way, going back to one of the things that we got in this that we don't really get in the show that I did appreciate was nice wide shots and animation of Deku using his full cowl like to fight dudes, like multiple dudes.
Yeah,
and
actually.
Just zipping around with it. That was super fun to see because you never see that in the show. It's usually like this is super dramatic, so it's a close-up and then this. And just seeing it used like sort of with a nice wide shot that just let you see what he's doing is really nice.
So one of the things about the My Hero Academia manga and the anime, because the anime is slavish to the manga, for good reason. I'm glad that it is the way that it is because
when it's not, we get multicolored ninjas.
Yeah. Oh my god. or IQ girl. Better than the multicolored ninjas.
Again, I didn't hate that episode.
Yeah. Yeah. But point being.
Take that over swimming any day.
One of the things that shonen manga or shonen anime can do to its benefit and often does is that where manga has difficulty communicating action and especially choreographed fight scenes, say with My Hero, where all of their fights are usually these big defining moves, there's not a lot of hand-to-hand combat, it's usually just a couple of big moves with context that make the fight. With say versus Naruto, which is just flips, throws, move, like all this hand to hand, well choreographed combat that leads to like bigger moves and changes.
Class 1A isn't exactly martial artists.
Yeah, exactly. In the movie,
excuse me, tail guy.
Actually, yeah,
tail guy. I was gonna say not all of them.
I was gonna say the one good thing about this movie
is... wears a karate gi and then does nothing. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. One of the things about this movie is that it actually goes out there and it's like, yep, here's some fight scenes. Here's a bunch of moves being used in combos and in you know sequential actions to build up these bigger, more well-choreographed scenes. And I'm like, hey, good. That's what you do with a movie because where in the manga... You know, you can't do that so well in this filler material. Yeah, go balls to the wall. Have some fun.
Yeah, I really like Deku fighting up the stairs against the goons and stuff and just, you know, knocking guys out here and there while they're heading up.
Yeah.
It's real fun.
And you get to see some amazing stuff in that final, like, that final fight, which we'll get into.
The last second.
But, so, to continue the story, though, as they make their way up, as it turns out,
What a twist. Here's your spoiler warning, by the way.
So the terrorists that took over were working with someone on the inside. And it was David Shield. Because as it turns out, David was working on a little device that amplifies quirks. And the reason that he was working on it and specifically wanted to get it back after, you know, basically the company that was funding it took his funding because they thought that this was an incredibly dangerous device was because he wanted to give it to All Might, who's losing his power. Which, you know,
specifically because he's afraid of the world losing a symbol of peace.
Which, okay, good. All this character motivation lines up very well. It's a good twist. I like that.
It's thematic.
Yeah.
I just like the fact that there was something more to it than... Turns out I'm evil.
Yeah, right.
Which is what I would have expected.
Which he's not evil.
As it turns out, he is far from evil.
He is very conflicted about what he's doing and feels bad about it, especially when the actors he hired to be terrorists turn out to be terrorists.
Yeah. Which, you know what?
Which
if somebody's going to act to be a terrorist, they're probably not in great moral standing.
Yeah, they're
But that's really what's going. Like, what was really funny in the final act though is like, twist. David's villain. Twist.
Oh, wait, wait.
No, he isn't.
Oh, yeah.
Twist. The other guy's doing this because he feels unappreciated. Twist. He shoots him in the head.
Oh.
Twist on that.
Okay.
Also, maybe All for One was part of this.
Ah, damn it.
Right?
All right. We'll get into that. But, yeah, I want to point out that there's this guy, Sam, who is the assistant to David. And
he is just kind of, oh, turns out I'm evil.
Yeah. If not evil, then just the fucking most petulant, greedy little shit.
He looks like human Cogsworth from Beauty and the Beast.
Right? You know, he gets fucking all like, no, you know, he makes a deal with these guys. And he's like, I deserve to be paid. I spent my entire life on this. And David's
like, we did
like,
so much science for this machine.
Yeah.
And for some reason, this is the only machine that I'll get credit for.
Yeah. And it's just fucking like... Although my favorite part is that when he's demanding payment from the terrorists, and he's like, "Oh no, here's your payment." Takes out his gun and shoots him. Now I'm really angry because it looks like he shoots him in the head.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
it looks like a
killing shot.
Yeah, and it's not. And I was actually sort of disappointed because I was like, dude,
"No, this will establish stakes. This is a villain who doesn't
this guy will
stick
just
around
and shoot you."
Yeah. And nope, David actually takes the shot in the shoulder because he doesn't want to see Sam die. And I was like, damn it, no, that would have been so good. No, let the guy who fucked you all over get shot. That would have been like, first of all, oh, cool, you've really actually set some stakes here. Somebody just died. But second, that was so, like, that the timing on that was so good. I was like, oh, shit, okay. No, you got my attention. Oh, no, David took the shot.
To be fair, that does line up with David's character, since before we are led to believe, you know, he was a hero at one point, just a science-based one.
And then on top of that,
he really doesn't want to do what he's doing and is still a good man. And how do you prove he is the goodest of man? He will take a bullet for a dude who was clearly shitty.
Yeah.
The movie has an undercurrent of people who don't have powers
doing
still,
good
can still be heroes and like they're still heroic, and that lines up with that. So.
Yeah, and to which, you know, I'll give you that. I knew in the moment what I wanted.
It feels like it would be so much more satisfying and honestly funny for just the film to go like, oh, here's that payment you wanted. Bam! And just like, all right, and now this character's dead.
Hey, real quick. I haven't seen the movie. So does David have a quirk at all?
No.
Okay, so his whole family lineage is
The presumption is basically his quirk is really good at science,
No, actually, they did not say he didn't have a quirk. They said he didn't have a quirk that was good for being a hero.
Good for being
so
a hero.
So he might have some sort of minor quirk, but it's nothing that actually helps him with heroics.
Nothing that came up in the movie anyway.
It was nothing important.
I bet you like it's written down somewhere. Yeah.
He has incredible organization skills.
Spreadsheetman.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe you can drop this box of nails on the ground and he'll know how many are there.
Like similar to Deku's mom who has like...
just, you know, he really knows just how to organize and see things and break things down. He's the IQ girl for science.
Everybody in chat says that it's bendy fingers.
Bendy fingers?
Oh, or he might have bendy fingers. That
okay.
works
too. So
that would help
so
in
he's
science.
He's double jointed. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I'll buy that. That's
apparently,
fine.
It's
that's
in the manga.
Science.
I don't
you
know.
Want to get in somewhere. Got to bend your finger a bit.
Okay.
Apparently mentioned in the manga.
But
either way.
But yeah. After Sam gets shot, and then
Sam gets shot, and David takes the bullet for Sam, and then he's like, "Fuck it, fine." So we're gonna take the scientist because we want to make more of these things, obviously.
By the way, who's talking now? The villain of the entire movie, who we have not mentioned because he is a nothing character.
Yeah, well,
he's Airsats Magneto. There you go. Boom, done.
Metal Man.
What is Airsats?
Means like with the serial numbers filed off.
No, he is.
He's Magneto.
He's got an. I wanted to say neat design, but he doesn't.
No, he doesn't. He's a very forgettable design.
Yeah,
I am the masked marauder.
He looks like, oh God, what's his name from wrestling? The Undertaker? No, the guy with the fucking mask.
Vader. Wrong dude.
Huh? I don't know.
No, he doesn't look like Mankind.
No,
luchador.
He looks like the villain from
his cousin.
He looks like the villain from the Celebi Pokemon movie.
Yeah,
the guy who is ripping up the forest.
He looks like a movie villain.
Yeah, he looks like a movie villain. Talks like a movie villain,
and he's like, I just want to do evil and make money. That's my job,
basically. And Kane. Yes, he looks like fucking Kane. And so. through all of this, you know, they've finally saved All Might. And so, you know, when the villain takes off in his helicopter, you know, they're this close to stopping him, but they fail. And then suddenly All Might just comes out of nowhere and is like, fuck you, comes right down on that helicopter, goes through the helicopter, grabs David, and that helicopter blows it, the fuck up.
Yeah, he straight up fucking kills that, kills two people.
Yeah.
Presumably. In that moment.
Yeah, there's a pilot and a co-pilot that you clearly see who are still in that helicopter
who
when
All Might had no idea of knowing whether or not they were hostages or
or hostiles.
And also killed the villain, presumably. Presumably.
Yeah. Right.
Because he goes through it and it explodes.
Well,
it
hey, man,
done.
International waters. Use your powers however you need.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But of course the villain isn't beaten, you know, All Might's giving his final, like, we did it, we won. And then he gets hit in a very, kind of funny, it's supposed to be dramatic, but yeah. I just nowhere fucking slammed Bunk. By some like giant piece of metal. Up comes the villain and oops, he's got the crown on him. Uh-oh.
So now he's got tits. Oh, wait, different crown.
No, yeah.
Different crown. Different
yeah,
crown.
This is the crown David made.
Yes.
Where it turns you into a superhero, not a model.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then things go Akira for a bit.
Yeah, it goes super Akira, yeah. Which I'm all about. I like the I'm a big fan of.
Well, this is where the movie looks like a movie.
Yeah, right. Actually, because
so, something else we haven't mentioned. So Melissa made for.
Oh yeah, we barely brought this up.
Yeah, brought it up.
The gauntlet.
Yes.
She made just happens to have made a gauntlet that can withstand one for all. About
up
three
to three
times?
Yeah, ish.
Why did she make this? What was the purpose of this gauntlet?
Yo, because sometimes you have to have a science project to show for science class.
That said, I love the design of it. Like, yeah. The red looks cool. Like,
hey,
the whole bandage thing looks
look,
neat.
Look, if he suddenly had those, like,
they would look,
of those,
they would go great with his costume.
Yeah, no, those would look great on his costume. I agree.
Instead of those white gloves. I don't like the white gloves.
I
well,
agree.
You're wrong, but okay.
But
why did she make the gauntlet? Who was she giving this to?
Turns out her real quirk is precognition.
I find it interesting that she only made one. Like, why don't you make two?
People have two hands.
But yes,
I mean, I guess maybe you only have the tech for one, but...
But yes, it is a gauntlet that Deku can wear so that he can punch at 100% strength without breaking his arms for this one movie and never again.
Yes.
Despite the fact that she has the tech and can apparently just make them.
It's made of unobtainium, very rare. We only had enough for
said,
one.
That said, it does allow for the movie to give you something that you'll never get in the show.
Yeah.
The father-son Kamehameha.
Punch.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is cool, to again... Like, I'm happy, though, that it exists, mm-hmm. because...
I would be happy if it existed.
Yeah.
And I also like that All Might actually yelled out Detroit Smash. He took Deku's on for that final one. He didn't yell out his own.
It's true. But I'm glad that it exists in the movie to give Deku some action scenes. Like, mm-hmm. he gets to punch. Although, so, yeah. What ends up happening is just one gigantic action scene.
Yeah. Yep.
Like...
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Man who can control metal gets superpower, like gets a supercharge to his quirk and can now control so much metal.
Yeah.
And that's his power.
I will say for as much as that dude is a nothing character with just Magneto's powers, the effects that they use for his controlling metal is dope.
Yeah, yeah. No, it looks cool.
He looks cool doing it. He's like strikes a freaking Full Metal Alchemist pose and touches the ground.
Yeah,
it's
all a little bit ripped off of Full Metal Alchemist, but that's okay.
It's almost like Studio Bones.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Weird.
But
for as much as I'm over here saying, well, that's from One Piece, that's from this, Simpsons did it,
I don't give
a shit.
Yeah.
It's cool, they stole it from themselves, and that's fine.
They end on a high note for sure.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of great action sequences. One part that kind of threw me off is that Deku's pulling off some holy shit stuff. Like, even at 5%, I'm like, dude, how are you kicking through all those fucking brick, like, all that brick and all that machinery and... Going at that speed, you look
100%
like
100%
is a lot. Yeah, he looks like he's matching up with fucking All Might here. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, it's almost like power levels are bullshit.
Yeah.
Speaking of, a real quick thing I noticed when Melissa gives him the gauntlet, she specifies three times. She's like, it could probably take All Might's full power three times.
Yeah.
We are shown three times him using it. The first time though. Deku even says, I'm just going to give it 30. Like, I don't think she knows what we're capable of. I'm going to give this 30.
Yeah.
And then the third time after that, it does break. So apparently, she did underestimate
actually,
a little bit.
I think he uses it like 4 times.
Does he?
Yeah.
I could have sworn the first time he goes, he goes 30, and then we get 2 more. But maybe he does 3.
He does do 30 at the first time.
Yeah.
But I feel like he punches more than 3 times.
Okay, he might. I thought I counted only 3, but when they said that, I started looking for it.
Yeah, for once, my nitpicky ass was not counting, but in either case, like, hey, it's a prototype. She's never tested it. It might be better. It might be worse. We were given the clear...
I just like that they kind of blue ball you at it at first when Deku's like, all right, well, I'm going to use this. And he's like, I'm going to give it like 30.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to tap the gas on this one and see what we do.
Yeah. But we get an amazing action sequence. Just a bunch of flying around and punching and dodging. And
camera whooshing.
Yeah, camera whooshing. And you can tell where the animators have been for the last several episodes of My Hero Academia.
Yeah.
Not that the show ever looks bad, but...
Hey, that Deku Bakugo fight still looked real good.
No, wow. We get the big action sequence. They win, obviously, with a double Detroit smash with All Might and Deku. It's pretty cool. All Might does a weird pose, but I'm also kind of into it because it's All Might. So, yeah, good on your weird pose.
Yeah, he goes full on JoJo with his pose, like, first.
Yeah.
Like, do a Superman pose in the air, in
Like, that's his impact shot is...
And then
there's, like... No, like, falling action whatsoever. It's the fight is done and credits.
Well, they stop for a moment for David to be like, oh, see, I was afraid that we were going to lose our symbol of peace. I wasn't looking to the future at our children who are going to be better than all of us. And it's like, okay, so you kind of tied it up with a bow with a theme. That's something. I wish the theme were actually throughout the entire film instead of at the beginning and at the end. But, you know, it's something.
Yeah.
I wish the whole movie had been the beginning and the end. So yeah.
there is a cool just to kind of bring it back to the theme, even though it's kind of close to the end, is Deku and Melissa are kind of like running up the tower by themselves and they're accosted by someone and Melissa ends up helping Deku. He's like, "Wow, I'm sorry I couldn't save you," instead of saying thank you.
Oh, yeah, it's like, "I'm sorry I let you get hurt," and she says, "I think you mean thank you."
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, and it's a good, like, "Oh, yeah, by the way, motherfucker, I don't have a quirk, but I can still be nice and helpful and do things."
And that's such a good line from her. It's an obvious line, but I didn't see it coming, and Deku's like, "Oh, yeah, thank you. Thank you very much."
Yeah, it's just like a, "Oh, I've been an asshole. Whoops."
Also, a small note on translation stuff. Like, I've never listened to the dub before, besides hearing a little bit of Briner. But I liked the translation from half and half bastard in the Japanese subs and whatnot to icy hot bastard.
Yes. Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah,
that's
no, cool. Icy Hot is fantastic. I love that. Also, so speaking of the dub, great performances all around. I'm really happy with everybody.
It was weird for me to hear All Might, like specifically Sabat, doing his deep voice and just saying, "Dave!" Like, just hearing a regular-ass American name with that voice, like, threw me for at least a good minute or so, just hearing All Might, "Thanks, Dave!"
Yeah, I always watch it subbed, so I had a little bit of it, like, trouble, like, adjusting, but I eventually did. Especially, like, I think Briner does a great job as Deku. I love his voice as Deku.
Yeah.
I've watched a couple episodes of the dub just at a con on cable. So I had a little more time to get accustomed. I was fine with it. I know Nick couldn't join us here today. Yeah. He very vocally does not care for Minota's dub voice.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think that's fair. I think Minota is.
I think it's
maybe
intentional
odd.
Though.
Well, I mean,
they want him to sound like a dweeb.
Yeah, it's obviously intentional that he's supposed to sound bad and terrible. But at the same time, the Japanese version doesn't do that.
That's true.
Personally, I think it's fine.
Personally, I think it's funny.
Yeah,
so it's
I agree.
Like, I actually,
that's the thing. I already hate Mineta. Hearing them basically make fun of Mineta with his own voice.
So, by the way, so side tangent, Mineta is in this film, and so
he's
Kaminari.
Neither of them are at their worst.
Yeah, neither of them are at their worst.
They're not sexually assaulting anybody. They're not tricking anybody.
They're just being hound dogs, and that's fine.
Yeah, and mostly, like, it's usually just them being like, "Oh, man, these girls are so pretty." Which is like, That's
hey, you know
that's
what? Fair.
Fine.
Yeah. if you want to ogle girls, yeah, go
and
ahead.
And like they're not even like I want to fuck them. Yeah. They're just.
But here's the thing that, and so here's the thing. I can't remember if you pointed this out or not. Mm. Somebody pointed out that whenever Minata is around Kaminari,
he gets worse.
Yeah, he makes Kaminari worse. And it's
like, I like Kaminari when he's hanging out with. Yeah, I like Kaminari when he's hanging out with Bakugo and Kirishima, and he wants to be cool like them.
That
and he's like their
influence.
Loser. Like I think that works. Like that's a real good dynamic.
It's almost like some friends, especially when you're about high school age, egg each other on and bring out the worst qualities
of
each other.
That's true.
Yeah. And then when it's just like, well, he'll just be not as creepy, Mineta. I'm like, we don't need that. Mineta has his niche covered, like, and then some.
But that being said, that's kind of the reasons that Kaminari is such an interesting character, is that he adapts to whatever situation he's in. Mm-hmm. You put him with anybody else, and then he starts to be like, okay, no, I'll be like this with you, because he just wants to be, like, he just wants to have fun with people. He just wants to hang out with them, and he's such a neat character like that, because I know people like that.
New character arc I'm pitching, Kaminari and Mineta have, like, some team thing that they have to do together, and Kaminari starts bringing Mineta up instead of Mineta pulling Kaminari down.
I think Kaminari's best when he's with Jiro, like, where they have that playful ribbing going on.
Yeah.
Like, because they have a really good, like not even romantic, like but,
yeah,
like,
just
they're
a
good,
back and
they're
forth,
good buddies.
Yeah, yeah, like a good back and forth friendly tease.
They fuck with each other.
Yeah.
And that's really fun.
That's the thing... I do like that, and unfortunately, being male and female, like
that, it means it goes romantic. But
at the same time, that's also kind of okay because they are cute together. So
they are. Yeah.
If you want to make them friends, if you want to make them a couple, I'm always the guy who's like, hey, look, if they work, they work. Who cares?
That said, I do see why some people really ship Jiro and Yayorozu, especially in this film.
Yeah,
Jiro and Yayorozu really
constantly.
Yes,
and it turns out they do pair up a lot.
Yeah,
they actually do end up being a pair every. But I've never thought of that.
Mm-hmm. But like when I think of it, I was like, you know, yeah, that'd be fine. Like they're not going to.
Oh,
but.
By the way, so we should talk about. We should talk about the supporting cast as their use in this movie because
or lack thereof.
Yeah, because Bakugo, Todoroki, they get stuff to do. They get an actual fight. And Kirishima gets to be, you know, second fiddle to Bakugo as, you know, like, again, they're buddies, they're pals, it's guy love between two guys. But he doesn't get to do a lot of the action stuff. He's mostly just like the balance out for Bakugo in the character scenes.
Yeah, he's Uraraka, there to be like, come on, Bakugo!
Uraraka spends the movie being the side chick.
Oh my god, Uraraka did not need to be in this movie, and that makes me mad.
Yeah, they gave her something to do, but not enough to where like it matters that she's in the movie.
Yeah.
Because the relationship, it's all about the relationship between Deku and Melissa.
Yeah.
Which isn't a problem necessarily, it's just...
But here's the
I'm
thing,
not invested.
After that first scene, thankfully... They get over the whole her being jealous of Melissa thing because
that's one of my favorite things about My Hero is like they don't have all the girl relationships be oh we're jealous of each other I'm gonna pull your hair like stuff like that like constantly like Naruto did
you're reading
for a while.
You're reading a different doujinshi than I am manga than I what did I say
but you know like, we're showing this stuff have like girls have like these rivalries for boys and shit that doesn't happen in My Hero and I'm really happy that's not a thing like it happens the bare minimum and it's enough to where it's like yeah realistically sometimes it would
yeah the only like thing that, the only thing you see and again it's from Acid Girl the one with the horns
yeah
she ships. But that's
absolutely.
She's into like, no, I'm matchmaker. I'm going to get...
Yeah,
I'm
just
get,
her, though.
Yeah, like, and I love that. I love the fact that we have one of those girls, and it's obviously her. Like, if you pay attention to her, she's like...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And there is always, like, that girl who wants to be play matchmaker.
Yes.
And also, real quick, you bring up Acid Girl remind me of the other girls that we didn't really get to see very much, Froppy and Invisible Girl.
Yeah.
But
oh my god!
The best thing is their Rock, Paper, Scissors game, and Invisible Girl has signs for Rock, Paper, Scissors. Perfect! I love it.
Yeah, no, that is a great visual gag. Also, we had fucking... Oh, we had...
Tape Guy and Sugar hanging out, watching stuff in a bar or shit.
But we could have had Froppy here... But no, we needed Ochako doing nothing, and Yaorozu being... Like,
there.
Yayorozu was just kind of there.
They should have thrown scissors so they couldn't have made it.
Yeah, I love Yayorozu. Like,
Jiro doesn't do anything either.
Huh?
Jiro doesn't do anything either.
She at least gets one scene where the guy goes, we don't know if they're listening to us. And then it cuts to her listening to
them. Yeah, she gets to be the spy girl for like a couple scenes.
For like a second.
Yeah.
And she uses her ear jack thing to like knock out a camera at one point, which is like, I didn't know they could do that. Okay.
All right.
Yeah. But it just kind of sucks because, like, again and again, Kaminari has that scene where he shocks all the robots, but it does nothing. Mm-hmm. So then he's useless and did nothing. And
now stupid.
Yeah. And that, well, yeah, again,
we useless. Got to have that joke.
Yeah.
That same joke.
That same joke we've done a million times.
And like the joke that they've already abandoned in the series.
Kind of, yeah.
Going back to Mineta real quick, did you guys, and it was in that scene where he not turned himself dumb, did you guys see the recycled animation from Mineta?
I don't know if that was actually recycled, but it
the looked angle
exactly,
was exactly the same. His face was the same.
Here's the thing. We'd have to compare them side by side to see if they actually recycled the animation.
That's true, but I am.
It looked very,
confident.
Very close. Well, suspiciously close.
If they didn't recycle the animation, then why not? Why spend money animating the exact same scene again?
If it's already basically a TV production, it seems like one of those things where, like, they might have had to recycle that animation because, like, we couldn't just do that instead of spending more time away from the show.
You might be fair. That might be right.
Like, I'm not shitting on him for it. It's just one of those things where that was noticeable.
Yeah. But also, yeah, Minante, everyone gets to do one thing, but it seems like they keep throwing obstacles in the way so they can do their one thing and not, oh, yeah, shit, obviously this would happen. We need somebody to do, oh, you can do that? Okay, cool, awesome.
A more focused cast would have been better.
Yeah, no, cut these fuckers in half.
And, like, and then you can give people substantial things to do.
Yeah. Because
it doesn't even have to be like your usual suspects. You could have just had Jiro and be one of the only three kids and see what happens.
And then on top of that, they do all the legwork to be like, every student is here. Like, there are cutaway shots of, you know, Tokuyami and I think Tail Dude or Mask Guy.
They're just not going to this
around.
Fancy party.
Yeah, they're not going to the party. And when the terrorists attack, what they do is they trigger the security system to go like, hey, curfew's in order. There's a bomb. Go to your rooms.
They were going to do hero stuff, like, away from all the other actions. So they're still doing this.
I figured there'd be that. Or at the very end, when Metal Guy goes crazy and out of control and is blowing up the center of the island, everyone would go, hey, something's up. We should probably look at that.
Right.
And then there would be this one sequence of like, oh no, Metal Guy is blowing up this building and everyone's in danger. And Tape Guy swings by and he's like, hey, I saved this person. Everything's cool. Keep going.
Yeah.
Like, just
but
like
instead,
give them.
They literally just sit in a hotel and like, dude, what's going on?
Thank God that's over with.
Whoa.
Yeah. It's you have this main cast who gets to barely do anything, and you have a side cast that literally does nothing, and it's like, why show these characters? This fan service merely takes minutes away from everything else and just makes them feel useless.
Why take the time to put the entire class here and then...
Like, if their thing is like, hey, people who don't follow My Hero might be checking out this movie, and if we made everyone do something, it would be too much. Then don't put them there.
Right, yeah, I agree.
Because now it just makes me think they'll like them less because they are only shown as being useless.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So that's the one big problem from this movie is that it's obviously made not just for little kids, but it's just, oh, hey, look, it's the character you like. He's here.
Hey, go watch the show.
Yeah.
This is exactly what the
show
looks
like. If
you
watched this movie on a regular-ass TV instead of a theater, do you think you would have had a better time?
I would have had a worse time.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just asking, just as a general, like, are we so jaded because we saw it in a theater versus, hey, this week's 1 hour My Hero special, they go to this island.
If this had been a TV special that looked exactly like it does now,
yes,
then I would have hated it.
Okay.
I would have skipped the living shit out of it. The fact that I went to a theater with a bunch of my friends and sat down and had this experience on a big screen was what helped elevate this from a movie that I would have otherwise passed up to a movie that I had enjoyment from.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't regret watching it.
Okay.
It's fine. It's just when you look at other shonen films, even like the first Naruto film that ever came out with the Snow Princess shit, looks better than this.
Yes.
In every way and is more tight in its construction. And this really is just sort of thing where it's like, I wish they had kind of outsourced to an actual film animation studio or something.
Well, I mean, what you wanted them to do was actually, like, here's the big problem with this sort of thing is that Studio Bones is not a big studio.
Right.
It has a bunch of animators that they work with. They don't work on a lot of projects at a time. They just work on, like, a couple of big projects, And then when they had this movie, they had to take the people who were working on the show away from the movie.
Right.
That's a problem.
Yes.
Because especially considering that I was like, shit, we didn't think this out. We put the production during the production of the season because we really needed to get this movie out at a specific time. So what ended up happening was it was never going to look as good or be as good as it possibly could have been.
And they didn't even try to make it look like a movie. Again, the aspect ratio gives that away. That, like, they weren't trying to make a film. They were really just taking their TV production and putting it into a film.
It's still 16:9. Mm-hmm. It's still 16:9.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. it's the TV aspect ratio. And for films, all the anime films, they put them in a different aspect ratio to make you feel like you're watching a movie. And the animation is also usually more stuff on ones, more effort put into characters talking to each other and like showing their characterization.
Yeah, a lot more character animation.
And obviously they couldn't do that for whatever reason. Yeah. And that might be because it's just not as big in Japan as it should be.
I told you why. Because they're a small studio that doesn't handle a lot of multiple projects at the same time. They had a limited amount of people to work on it while they were working on the show.
Right.
And outsourcing to other studios is something that they've done, but at that point you're getting kind of diminishing returns.
So maybe
we have had Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. We had a film for that, and it looked like a movie.
It certainly looked different from the show.
Right. Now that's not to say whether or not it's, you know, better or not. I actually didn't watch it, but I did see that it was produced to look like a film.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not mad at that. I just want things where there must have been something behind the scenes happening for them to decide that we're not even going to try to make this look a certain way. We're just sort of going to take our TV production process and apply it to this movie.
Yeah. It does not look better than the show's best.
Right.
Even its big action sequence at the end, with the exception of its CG. They actually like went balls to the wall with the CG for Metal Dude. And well, it's obvious CG. It's good.
It looks good.
Cool.
They might have outsourced that.
Yeah, I'll be the first person to say, well, look at that shitty CG. No, this was great.
Yeah,
right.
it did not integrate very well.
That being said, the movie is a fun little sidetrack that tells you about All Might's past, that has a couple of really good action sequences, that has some cute character moments all throughout it, and ultimately, I've seen bad shonen anime movies.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen really bad ones. I've seen ones that bored me. This, I got bored here or there, but I was still kind of, I was still interested. Like, there's still some really great moments. So at the end of the day, I'm going to hold up my card.
Do it.
Yeah. Like, this is, here's the thing. So if we had a bunch of films to choose from and this were the worst of it, I might give it a knife. But it's a My Hero film and it's got some cool stuff and it may not be required watching, but I can still say, yeah, you know what? I don't regret watching it, and I would recommend it if you're a My Hero Academia fan. Only if you're a My Hero Academia fan.
Yeah.
This is not the place to put that asterisk. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, practically a formality, but yeah, I would also do this as well. It's one of those where you honestly probably could skip it. I don't think you'd really be missing a whole lot. Something I haven't mentioned that I did really notice. I don't know if they've ever used this audio, like this soundtrack before in the show, but for that first scene with young All Might, there is like a new version of the All Might theme we always hear that is just a lot peppier and faster and like different instrumentation. And I really liked how that sounded and thought it was really cool. But other than that, I think a lot of this movie is kind of just stuff you've seen before, just, you know, in a new location.
There's something I need to bring up after we're done holding up our cards.
Okay.
So, you say practically a formality. I think it goes back to what Scott said. Going to a theater, like, even if the big screen highlights some of the warts, going to a theater with all your friends is a good way to have a good time.
Yes.
If this is what your friends are, this will probably be out of theaters by the time people are watching this, if it's not already.
Yeah.
I think it was a one-night only thing where we were.
Well, it was a week. It's going on for a whole week.
Okay.
So
you'll have time when this comes out.
So yeah, if this is what your friends are doing, going to the theater, watching the My Hero movie, or you know, when it comes out on home video, if like, hey, we're all going to Dave's house, he's got the biggest screen and the good sound system.
Oh, Dave and Melissa's?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, we're gonna do that. Then you could certainly do a lot worse, but it's not the movie that's the thing when you're doing that. It's, oh, I'm going to hang out with all my friends. That's always fun, even if it's a bad movie. I don't think this is a bad movie, but it's totally skippable. And I would, if I were watching this by myself in my living room on my TV, yeah, I think I'd have a bad time. So judging the movie, nah, skip it.
Then you know what? That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is the fairest knife I've seen so far because,
Yeah, I'd say it's worth watching. It's not great, and like, you know, I've seen worse anime movies, like shonen anime movies that have looked better.
Yeah.
Like the look is a sticking point for me, for I think obvious reasons. It's not a deal breaker. It's just I wouldn't if you're not feeling a great urge to go see it, don't. You know.
Yeah.
But if you're like, I really want to see My Hero Academia movie in theaters, then you'll have a fun time.
So, he brought up something earlier, and I wanted to get to it later, but we ended up skipping over it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fucking one, all for one.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so, last minute plot twist, because of course, so there's the scene where the villain's about to win, he's done this big old thing, and suddenly All for One's music hits.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, okay, and I'm like, they're using villain music.
What the hell? Why are they using All for One's song? It's specifically...
It's like haunting opera going on.
And I was frustrated because I'm like, yes, it's a good piece, but it's also his.
Yeah,
like
it is specifically All for One.
And it turns out, it is.
Yeah. As it turns out, Mr. Not Magneto is like, All for One told me this would happen, and fucking, of course, All Might's like, what?
No!
And it's like, I got a call that, I got a mysterious call one night. And, you know, then it switches to fucking All for One. Yes, I heard that David wants to commit evil.
Yeah,
and
if he's going to commit evil,
then I'm going to make sure that All Might's face is twisted in terror as he finds out that his old partner is committing evil.
Right, yeah, it is... But mustache curlingly, like,
it's hilarious. It's really funny.
We need a villain.
And it's almost like All for One is just fucking Darth Vader and has very little dimension to his character, but he's got a cool design and a cool theme song, so it works anyway.
I mean, like, this is just like,
and that's why you don't overuse him.
Yeah, well, yeah, this is just like barely more exaggerated than he is in the show.
No, yeah,
he's just Machiavellian Darth Vader. Yeah. Like a little dash of Emperor Palpatine as well.
Yeah, he is a great villain in My Hero Academia because they use him the exact amount that they need to use him with in combination with his design, his music, and his creepy shit that he says.
Yes.
Like, it's like, oh, good. You found a good
Your
way
cartoonish
to do this.
Your cartoonishly
just
evil and you earned
joy
it.
At seeing All Might unhappy.
Yes. And that is why he works so well in the show. But if you cannot tie random bullshit happening back to him. There's another villain that they do that all the time. Fucking Naraku. It's Naraku from Inuyasha. Oh, as it turns out, this was Naraku's plan. Oh, it always goes back to Naraku. Yeah, no, that's what this shit is. And it's like, no, let the villain just be his own villain. And fucking, we don't have to make him more important or make this have more gravitas by having being involved with All for One.
To be fair, they bring that up when he punches All Might or whatever, or they have some sort of physical, like, body clashing, and All Might, like, recoils going like, that felt like super strength. This guy's quick is metal. What is this?
Oh, yeah. So it's a second quirk.
Yeah. It's to be like, oh, All for One gave me this extra quirk to fight you because we knew you'd be here.
You know what I was hoping? I was hoping, like, oh, that's because I replaced my arm with a metal arm. Oh, shit. Okay, though, that would have been cool and clever. Nope! He just has a second quirk.
Well, I was ready for it to go really stupid and for him to be, it's actually been All for One all along. His other new power is shape-shifting.
It's me.
Like, yeah. Like, I thought that's what was going to happen. And then when he gets the fucking enhancer crown, it gets real bad. But then I was like, that makes zero sense with the fight he has later. But it is a movie, so who fucking knows? But then it was just like, no, if All Might's friend wants to be evil, I'll make it as evil as can be.
But when you brought up the music, that also gave me another thought that I had during the movie, and I forgot that I was thinking this until just now.
Mm.
The movie is weirdly quiet. And that's because they didn't create any, except for maybe that one track at the beginning, they didn't really create any original music for this movie at all.
It's the rest of the soundtrack is all stuff
I've
heard.
It's all recycled, and a lot of scenes are really quiet.
Actually, you say they're recycled. what I'm actually pretty sure happened was they made a lot of music for this movie and then ended up using it in the show as well.
That's possible, but a lot of it is reusing Yusei Run and
Jet Set Run. I forget what it is. There's the second version of it.
Yeah, but like reusing that stuff, and there's a lot of scenes where you'd figure there'd be like some sinister orchestral music or something, and it's just silent. And it almost feels like they intended to get that music in there and then just couldn't for whatever reason.
I don't know about that.
It's just they intended for things to be weirdly quiet during scenes that don't feel like they should be. But
also possible.
But it seems like this is a film that had a lot of production issues. When it was being made,
it's very possible that it did actually suffer from a lot of production issues. I mean, again, this film is not exceptionally good looking beyond the show, which is for a TV show very good looking. So.
Right.
But yeah. Anyway, so that's
the My Hero movie. Yeah, I'll go see another one if they make one.
If they make a second one, I will most definitely see it, because what I have noticed is that what usually happens is the first anime movie for anything is like, okay, the second one, like, as they go on, they either get, like, they usually actually get better. Like, the One Piece ones, oh, dude, the sixth One Piece movie is one of my favorite things from One Piece ever, so.
The One Piece films, I don't even care about One Piece, but the One Piece films are fucking beautiful.
Yep. Yeah.
They look better than anything I've ever seen One Piece look like.
They do some nut shit, like... Again,
that's why the new Dragon Ball film looks like it's going to be super cool, because it looks like how a One Piece movie is produced, which is not to look like the show.
Yes,
but yeah, if they make another one, I will totally go see it in the theater with my friends.
Yeah,
and if I should happen to miss that window, oh well.
Yeah, we won't be doing this show anymore. So
yep.
Heyo.
Oh no!
Thank you for tuning into our dumb canceled show. We will see you guys next time. We have a movie we want to talk about, probably. I don't know.
Sounds good. Later.